Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Good morning. Happy Friday. I hope that you've had a fabulous week. We're back again for another episode. And I just want to let you know that this show has been running for, about 2.5 years at 9 in the morning. But another time slot has opened up. And so I'm going to be probably changing to Thursday afternoons at 2 p.m. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I just wanted to let you know in advance. And as soon as I know the date, I will announce it on the air, and I'll also post it on Facebook and Twitter so that you know when to tune in. And of course, if you miss an episode, you can always catch it on podcast at citr.ca or my personal website, spiritualshow.com, where I usually post all the podcasts if I'm keeping up with all my little duties that I have for this show. Okay, so today we have William and Nancy Martin. They are the authors of The Caregivers, Tao Te Ching. And so welcome to the show, William and Nancy.
Well, thank you.
Hi. So this is Bill. You've worked as a minister and a marriage and family therapist, and you've worked as a college instructor as well, and now you're teaching at the Still Point Center for Zen Practice.
Uh-huh.
And so, Nancy, also, you have a background as a clergywoman with the United Methodist Church, and you also have worked at a hospice in California. And so both of you have a lot of experience dealing with people who are needing care as well as people who are caring for others. So how did this book exactly come about?
You know, it actually started with my agent about 4 years ago, who went through a caregiving experience with her parent, one of her parents, and I had written some other books on expressing the Tao Te Ching for people, parents, and couples. And she said, "What we need is a book for caregivers, because the Tao Te Ching really, its message and its philosophy is of great inspiration and comfort to people who are in difficult situations." So seeds were sown about 4 years ago, and it just gradually evolved. Nancy's work with hospice, and then as we were writing the book, caring for Nancy's mother, just lots of things came together for it. Am I got that right, Nancy?
Yeah. I think that it was kind of a natural flow. Bill has, like you said, worked with the Tao for decades now and is familiar with that text and has visited it for various populations. And for me, between pastoral care, working with hospice patients, and working with Zen practice, it just seemed natural to be able to share what we could with people who were going through caregiving.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so we were talking before the show started, and Bill was saying that you may read some chapters of the book. It's a lovely little book. And who's going to benefit most from this book? Obviously a caregiver, but what do you mean when you say caregiver in this sense?
Well, there are really a number of different populations that I think that it's going to help. One is, I think one of the statistics I've read is that 65 million people in this country, in the United States, or about 29% of our population, in any one year provide care to a loved one who is either chronically ill, disabled, or frail and elderly. So there are a lot of people within, I think, all of our populations that are looking after a loved one within their own household. But this is also a book for professional caregivers, nurses, aides, doctors, people who work in the medical setting and who experience a great deal of time pressure and push and need the invitation to come back to their own hearts to regain the joy of the work that they've chosen to do.
Wonderful. And so how about we start with a chapter?
Okay. Let's just start with chapter one. It in a sense, it sets the tone. The first part is the Tao Te Ching is divided into 81 chapters. Each one is quite short and expresses, it's written not in a linear fashion. Each chapter can revisit a theme and look at a theme from a little bit different perspective. So we tried to write the book in the same style. The first part is blank verse poetry by me, trying to express some of the same things the Tao does. The second part of each one or two page chapter is by Nancy expanding on that theme and giving a commentary. So chapter one is called Let Go. Caring for loved ones with your ideas and caring for them with your actions are two different processes. The first arises within your mind and often brings confusion. The second is a direct experience, free of mental voices, and leads to clarity. The mind that wants to help does not know how. The mind that lets go of wanting knows exactly what to do. Both minds reside within us. Learning to live with both unlocks the secret of caregiving. Be quietly present with yourself in the presence of another human being. If you can do this, you will know the next simple thing to do. This is all that is ever necessary.
The first step in caregiving is to let go of our ideas about what it means to be a helpful, compassionate caregiver. These mental images set standards that easily lead to disappointment, frustration, and self-doubt. The direct experience of caregiving is new every moment and leads us in unfamiliar directions. We gather experience along the way, but with each encounter we must show up, stay present to what is actually happening, and see what occurs. When we do this, a space opens in which compassion for everyone involved, including ourselves, can naturally arise. Caring for another person is not about orchestrating the tasks of the day so that we can do it right. It is about letting go of our ideas and making room for the two people who are here in this place, in this moment. It is the freedom to be who we are and to open our hearts to ourselves and to those in our care.
Beautiful. Thank you. And so it sounds like you're really saying, I would imagine that when someone takes on the task of caregiving, that's the first thing that they're most concerned with is getting everything done, that this person, all of the steps of care throughout the day that they need. And it sounds like what you're saying is that that's necessary, but that's not the main focus of being a caregiver.
Yeah, it can get really, as you're providing care, especially for a loved one, you can get really caught up in those details and in those tasks. And yet the greatest gift you have to offer is your presence, being a companion to them in this part of their life journey. And so when you start feeling like you're getting all caught up in those details of trying to manage symptoms or take care of the simple needs of the day, to take a breath and look up and to look in their eyes again and rediscover kind of the beauty of this human being that you're looking after.
And in the midst of that, you discover the beauty of your own experience and your own self. Lao Tzu, who was the author of the Tao Te Ching about 2,500 years ago, had a great distrust for words and ideas and a great love for the direct experience of life. And as he watched it in wind and water and the way the bamboo shoots bent in the breeze, all the kind of natural things that occur, and he believed that each person is part of this natural flow and experiences it directly. And when they step back into the conceptual realm of their mind, although it's a natural human thing to do, they're one step removed from the direct experience. something like caregiving calls us back into that direct experience of life. And if we can accept that invitation to move a step out of our concepts and the stories we tell ourselves, then we're present with this other person in a beneficial relationship to them, but also tremendously beneficial to us. We rediscover the direct experience of our life.
That's beautiful, Bill. Thank you. And it's interesting what you say about Lao Tzu and not trusting words and ideas as much as real life. And in this modern age, it seems like the majority of us spend, I don't know, 90, 98% of our time living in this words and ideas realm rather than real life. We're constantly on the computer, we're talking on our phones, we're looking at the internet or television, rather than actually being in physical contact with the world and with the people around us.
Oh boy, I could join you on that soapbox. and rant for a while, but I won't do that.
Well, why don't we read chapter 30 instead?
Read chapter 30 instead.
Okay.
Okay, chapter 30. It's called Just This. Knowing what to do is not as important as knowing when to stop doing it. Resisting the way things are keeps us trapped in a loop of doing and striving. If we believe our conditioned mind, there is never a time when we can stop doing. There is always more to do. If we trust our Tao mind, times to stop and rest appear like rainbows surprising us in the cloudy sky. Pay attention to these times.
It may be a glimpse of the moon partnered with the morning star as we make an early cup of tea. It may be noticing the bare tree branches against the deep blue of the sky. It may be the tiny pause between the end of an exhale and the beginning of an inhale. Life is filled with gifts of rest and renewal. The activity that captures our attention in this moment can quiet the incessant chatter of conditioned mind. At each moment, we can choose to focus on some simple bit of beauty or comfort in our surroundings. For now, there is the feeling of warm, soapy water on our hands as we caress the bowl that held the evening's stew. Whatever we are doing, right this moment, can be a place of renewal and rest. All we need to do is sink into the gift of just this.
Well, that's so beautiful. And it's honestly, I have to confess, it brought tears to my eyes. And I think the reason why is just because what we were talking about, how we are all so caught up with what needs to get done that we don't, you know, as the saying goes, take time to stop and smell the roses and really experience things. Even people who listen to this show and are focusing deliberately on spirituality, I can imagine that a lot of us still forget and get caught up in everything that's going on. And are you okay with taking questions if someone wants to call in?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to put that number out there, 604-822-2487. If you are a caregiver taking care of an aging parent or something along the lines of caregiving and you have a question, you could be a nurse, or what are some of the specific groups of people that you're wanting to reach with this book?
Professionals, nurses, hospice workers, everybody in the healthcare field, and then the people who are taking care of a family member. Anybody who finds themselves in a position of having to give a specific kind of care to another person.
Wonderful. So if you have a question or you'd like to share, maybe you're having a struggle and you'd like to get some advice from William and Nancy Martin, please do give us a call, 604-822-2487. Well, it is time for a break now. So this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. Again, the phone number is 604-822-2487. We are discussing The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching, Compassionate Caring for Your Loved Ones and Yourself, and it was written by William and Nancy Martin, and they are on the line today. So we'll be back with more Synchronicity here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver in just a moment.
another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we're speaking with William and Nancy Martin. They are the authors of The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching. You may be listening in Vancouver on CITR 101.9 FM or also online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, wherever you're tuning in from. Thank you for listening. And I just want to let you know, if you're just tuning in, that I am going to be probably changing times of this show. We've been on at 9 a.m. on Friday mornings for over 2.5 years now, but I'm going to be probably changing to Thursday afternoons at 2 p.m. I don't know when that's going to change. Likely pretty soon, but I'll let you know as soon as I have the date of the changeover, and then I'll also keep you up to speed. If you're on Facebook, you can follow me. I'm Marie Bernard, or you can also look up the Synchronicity Show, and I'm also on Twitter as Marie Bernard. So please do connect with me online if that's one of the things that you enjoy doing. So welcome back to the show, William and Nancy Martin.
Thank you.
So again, we were talking about the stopping to really be present in the moment, and I think that's so important and such something that we all need to remember. What are one of the other important things that caregivers need to remember?
Nancy?
I think a lot of it is if we can stay present in the current moment, we can easily get drawn into a lot of reviewing and evaluating of what has already passed, what has been happening, and we can get into spinning all kinds of scenarios about what this means, where this is going, what we're going to need to do about it tomorrow. But if we can stay just present with the person who's right in front of us in this moment, we're less likely to feel overwhelmed. And we're more likely to be really catching on to where they are in that particular day, at that particular time, and be able to actually partner with them in their care. And that makes it a more fulfilling experience for both of us.
Yeah, it's not something that another thing that we have to do right. It's easy because things tend to feel out of control, and the feeling that something's gone wrong here, that this person is in a situation that they need care or help. It's natural to have that feeling of there's something wrong, and maybe there's something I need to fix, and I certainly have to do it right. And caregiving really isn't something that you do to or even for another person. It's really a more organic relationship. It's not something that you have to do right. It's something that just unfolds. And you can learn to be comfortable with that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next, and that's okay.
So I'm curious, Bill and Nancy, when people get into the caregiving, let's talk about on a professional level, they get into the industry of nursing or working in a retirement home or hospice or something, and I would imagine that when they start out, they're really wanting to do this out of the goodness of their heart. You don't sign up to be a nurse and go to school for the money. It's not, you know, it's not a glamorous job. Yet we see people who have been nursing for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they're burned out. They're not kind anymore. What happens to those folks?
My guess is that with the way in which we view medicine in our cultures, that there's just so much pressure on them to have the expectation that they're going to do everything right, that they're going to do everything efficiently, that they're going to be able to see a large number of patients and keep track of a lot of information and do it, you know, without any mistakes, without any hesitations. And I think what ends up happening is they take on this tremendous burden and strain of trying to live up to what is actually kind of an unrealistic expectation that's being placed on them. When we work with nurses, one of the things that we focus on is them bringing compassion to themselves in terms of understanding that, of course, you don't know how this particular patient is going to respond at this point, because, you know, they may not seem to be the same person that they were when you walked out of the room 10 minutes ago. They're dealing with all kinds of internal dynamics. They're listening to all kinds of stories within their own minds. They're trying to cope in a situation that's difficult for them. And so for nurses to recognize that when they get difficult responses from people, that it's not personal, and that taking just an extra moment or two to listen sometimes can make their task all that much more easy.
Yeah, the medical profession in many places is based on the illusion of control. It's a natural illusion to fall into, and we can do so many wonderful things with medicine that it's easy to fall into the belief that we either can or should be able to control and manage all these symptoms and all these situations, and if we can't, that something's wrong. Do we have a chance to time to read another chapter? There's a chapter that kind of speaks to that.
Sure, yes.
Nancy, number 22.
Okay.
The title of that is Refuge in What Is. Life feels crooked when we want it straight, and empty when we want it full. We sometimes get what we desire. We sometimes lose that which is most precious to us. The future cannot be predicted, and therefore it frightens us. Taking refuge in what is, we find relief from all our struggle. No longer demanding something different, we find a simple peace within. Not trying to control events, we preserve our energy. We are no longer in opposition to life, so our strength is fully available and our spirit is capable of all that is needed.
Many of us were raised to believe that if we do everything right, we can avoid pain, fear, and sorrow. We grow up believing that the unwanted experiences of life are beyond our strength to endure. We think that we must keep them at bay, or life will be too much for us. The reality is that these challenges prove what has always been true. Life is beyond our control. It does not yield to our preferences or shield us from our fears. The moment may come when the certainty of death and our hopelessness to do anything about it will flood us with a mixture of terror and awe. Faced with this incredible truth, we find the courage to allow people to become precious to us. We can allow ourselves to sink into the vulnerability of our heart and to feel the sadness and grief, the sweetness and sorrow that naturally flow through these days. Nestled in this deep, rich melancholy of life, we can remain fully aware, fully available to the one in our care. Far from being beyond enduring, life finds room for everything in a heart opened wide.
Thank you. And so I just want to put that number out there again. If you are in the healthcare industry or you're caring for someone, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. If you have a question for William and Nancy Martin, the authors of The Caregivers, Tao Te Ching. And so, Bill and Nancy, there's a difference between people who sign up voluntarily to work and get paid to be in the healthcare industry and people who end up taking care of an ill loved one. It can seem like a thankless job. And I don't imagine that many people would want to volunteer for that. So how do you speak to those people who may be even partially doing it against their will?
Bill, are you going to take this one, or is this
one? No, I was just really hoping you'd jump in with that.
Okay. I think that what ends up happening is that we are faced with just the situation in which we're the person who is the most likely to take care of somebody in our family. Maybe we're the one who got along with them the best. Maybe we're the one who's closest geographically. And just the situation just unfolds that we're the one who becomes a caregiver. And for some people, they've never seen themselves as a caregiver. They don't see themselves doing those tasks, or maybe there's a lot of history with this person that's been very uncomfortable. And the other thing is that while this person is going through an illness or recuperation from an injury or declining toward death, they're going through this whole range of emotional issues that come out all kinds of directions. So again, that person who is providing care to somebody who's a family member, part of it is coming back to, can I let this be new? Can I let go of, you know, the stories about who we are to each other and how this has to be and what this means? And can I, in some ways, let us both off the hook in terms of who's right and who's wrong, and the kind of lifetime of stuff that may have built up? And can I enter this as a new and fresh place? And one of the things that people sometimes discover is as people are needing care, there comes a softening and a vulnerability, and they actually get to see this person in a new way that can allow that whole relationship to shift and change. And even, you know, the person that you've had a lot of difficulty with, there may be some really sweet times in providing that care.
There's a quality that every person has inside of them that often goes undiscovered and gets masked by kind of a facade of duty and doing things right and being the right person. But Lao Tzu, the author of the Tao Te Ching, would indicate that inside of every person is a natural compassion or a natural quality of caregiving, a natural power. In the title of the Tao Te Ching, the T-E, can sometimes be translated as a natural virtue or a natural power that exists inside of everyone that they don't discover until they, in a sense, have to, until the artificial power, the artificial struggle to maintain the masks of responsibility and duty and fall away or get ripped away. We don't discover that there's something deeper and more powerful than that that's natural to everybody. We all, within us, we all have the natural capability of doing what's next, of handling whatever life provides us. There's another chapter that speaks to that.
Well, it's time for a break now. So how about what's the chapter you're going to read next?
20.
Okay. So we'll be back in just a moment. We are speaking with William and Nancy Martin. They are the authors of The Caregivers, Tao Te Ching, Compassionate Caring for Your Loved Ones and for Yourself. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. If you're just tuning in, I'm going to be changing times for the show. Normally we air at 9 a.m. Pacific on Friday mornings, but I'm probably going to be changing to Thursday afternoons at 2 p.m. So I just wanted to let you know, and I will keep you posted on the exact date of the change. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in a flash.
It'll be a hot time in the Old Chapel on Saturday night, January 29th. It's the first annual Barn Burner Benefit, Vancouver's greasy rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and country review. Please join me, Bobby the Badger Ferris, host of the Barn Burner, for a night of honky-tonk and rock and roll mischief. This show takes place at Vancouver's newest and most unique venue, Chapel Arts, in the downtown east side at 304 Dunleavy Avenue, just one block north of the Patricia Hotel. The Barn Burner Benefit features the stunning lineup of Shiloh Lindsay, Rodney DeCrew and his new Convictions, and Minto. It's three headliners for the price of one, and the majority of the proceeds will be going to the greatest radio station on the planet, CITR 101.9 FM, and the greatest new venue in Vancouver, the Chapel Arts Gallery. Put on your boots and show your support to ensure that local artists and venues can continue to thrive in our fair city. In addition to the great acts playing, the night will also include a clothing raffle from Lifetime Collective, greasy cuisine, spaghetti westerns in the Galleria, and I'll be spinning the greasiest tracks between bands and after the show. Again, that's Saturday night, January 29th, 2011, at the Chapel Arts Gallery at 304 Dunleavy Avenue. $12 at the door, with doors opening at 8 p.m. There's no dress code, but denim on denim is probably advisable. The first annual Barn Burner Benefit, brought to you by Chapel Arts and CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're speaking with William and Nancy Martin. They're the authors of The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching. And if you are a caregiver, if you are working in the healthcare industry, in the helping industry, or you are caring for a loved one, perhaps a sick parent or a child, please do give us a call if you have a question, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, 822-2487. Welcome back to the show, William and Nancy.
Thank you.
So we're going to read another chapter of the book, and that was chapter 20?
Yeah, chapter 20. We're talking about whether when a person finds themselves in a caregiving situation, not by choice, but by circumstance. It's called You Remain. Don't waste your time trying to understand why things are as they are. Don't believe all the stories you are told about what's important and not important. Don't get stirred up by wanting this and avoiding that. You are a plain and simple being, an expression of the Tao. Even when everything you thought secure is slipping out from under you, you remain.
For many caregivers, there comes a time of despair, a time when we feel we have come to the end of our rope. The fatigue and the endless need to adjust convince us that we just cannot do it anymore. We feel that we have failed and that what we thought was bedrock is crumbling beneath our feet. In truth, we have not come to the end of our capacity for life. When we finally give up and fall into this abyss, we find that we have fallen into freedom. It is not our basic nature that has crumbled, but the story of who we have to be and how we have to act. When all that falls away, we find the amazing wonder of who we have always been. The letting go that we had been convinced would bring ruin and shame instead brings freedom and deep gratitude for the riches of our true nature.
And so, Bill and Nancy, it sounds like that's more of presence. I mean, you're not wanting to push away or trying to figure out why your circumstances are the way they are. It's acceptance of what's happening.
Yeah, it is kind of that invitation to sink out of our head where we try to figure things out and understand and problem solve, and into our heart, where we realize that we're just a companion on a journey, and this other person is just going to be the focal point of what we're doing. And then also remembering that our own natural innate wisdom is going to see us through whatever happens.
Lao Tzu, again, referring to the implications of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu, although, again, didn't put a lot of trust in the conceptual ability, even though it's a natural part of humanity, it's just a small part of our human nature, he put much more trust in the natural flow of our true nature. And so often, even our spirituality can be conceptual. It can be lived in our head, a series of ideas, and a constant attempt to frame those ideas so that they fit with the circumstances, and then readjust them when the circumstances change, and try and fit life into a mold that we've created inside of our heads. And in caregiving, we get the invitation to let our spiritual journey take a step away from conceptualization into the direct experience. And so referring back to the touches and the tastes and the sounds and the sights and the textures of life become really the core of our spiritual journey. So that this, for Lao Tzu, the spiritual journey was one taken in smells and touches and tastes and sounds and sights rather than in ideas about spirituality. Stepping into that realm is very important for the caregiver and just very important in life in general.
And so I'm curious, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your direct experiences with caregiving and how that's developed over time for you.
Well, you know, I'm going to speak to that first in terms of my mom. Today would have been her 93rd birthday.
Yes, that's right.
And my parents had moved up here to be close to us a number of years ago, and we first had the situation in which my father died, and we had the honor of caring for him in the last months of his life. And then about a year and a half later, which was a year ago, my mom went through her decline and passed away a year ago December. And it was just so interesting to discover who she was in new ways, especially in doing the little acts of care for her in the middle of the night. We would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning so that she could go to the bathroom, and it was like being with a five-year-old who would sit there and go, oh, and would you bring me something to eat? And would tell stories that I had never heard before. And so for me, there was that richness, especially in those middle-of-the-night hours with her, seeing that this graciousness that I had experienced in her went all the way through her. And it was just a real honor to be with both of them when they died.
Hmm.
It made a difference in the tone of the book. We were in the midst of writing, finishing in a sense, or some thinking we were finishing the book, when Nancy's mother began to decline more precipitously. And Nancy started spending the nights with her, and caregiving in a more full-time capacity, and at the same time trying to get the book done. And the book shifted from being that shift I was talking about, it shifted from our heads into our hearts, and it was kind of a difficult shift. Especially for Nancy, from my perspective, as I watched her caring for her mother and then coming home and taking a weekend away or something, trying to express the content of the book. And it was very difficult. And but I think it put a heart into the book that might not have been there otherwise.
Yeah, it kind of allowed me to marry what I had known in a professional way through working with hospice and pastoral care, and that direct experience of when it's the person who you love that you're caring for, it's always absolutely different. It's just an entirely different experience. And I think that it is something that added to the richness of this book.
And so, Nancy, what advice would you give for someone who has a parent who is declining and it's time to decide, are we going to put this loved one into a home? Are we going to keep them at home? I would imagine it's pretty much a full-time job. People may have to leave their employment situations. So what advice would you give for someone who's considering and weighing their options at that point?
Well, I think a lot of it is listening to the person themselves. What is their desire? For us, one of the key factors was that my mom so much wanted to stay in her own apartment if she could because of the familiarity of it. And it happened that the circumstances that allowed that. So when you're considering it, you have to see what really is possible. Different people have different demands in terms of jobs or raising young children or other places that they just don't have the freedom to be present. And often there are quality facilities where there are professional caregivers that are very caring and supportive, and that having the freedom to come in and visit and be fully present for a short period of time and be able to get your rest and do the other things that you're responsible for in your life can make that a quality encounter with this person who you care about. So there's not one right answer or wrong answer. Again, just really trusting the wisdom of your own heart and doing what you can.
Whether it's in a care facility or in their home or in your home, or it continues to come back to the present moment. And if it's in a care facility, then when you're with them there, you can have the opportunity to be no place but just there. And sometimes a care facility can give you that freedom. You don't have other responsibilities, so that you can just really be with this person. And they're going to, whether they're in their own home or in a care facility, they're going to have good days and bad days. And you can't take it personally. Just like all of us, you know, they haven't become less than human. They're still an individual, incredibly complex human life. And some days are they can enjoy, and some days they're in despair, and there's nothing we can do about that. That's their journey. We can be there for them, but we don't have to fix it, whether they're in our home or their home or a care facility. They're just like we're capable of being the caregiver on this journey, they're capable of their journey into illness or accident or death. They're capable. They can do this.
That's a really wonderful point to make, and I'm guessing that there's probably a chapter somehow related to this.
Is there a chapter? I don't know. Is there a chapter? Well, it's got to be, Nancy. Something come to your mind?
No, there isn't on quite that. I'm going to take it just a little bit different direction, though, but into that person who is taking care of somebody in their home that might not be sure about if they can do that or not. Bill, it's number 41.
Okay. A paradox. We are a paradox to ourselves. Part of us is ready and willing, and another part is sometimes willing and sometimes wants to back away. Yet another part wants to run as far away as possible, as quickly as possible. The Tao contains within its nature abundant paradoxes. That which seems difficult to do is actually the easiest. that which seems dirty and soiled is actually the purest. The action that seems harsh is actually the most compassionate. That which seems our weakest moment is actually our strongest.
As we start giving care, we may look ahead to some task we fear we won't be able to do. From a distance, the task seems like a cliff edge. We know that we can go that far, but beyond that, it is frightening, messy, uncomfortable, and unpredictable. We are afraid that we will fail in giving care. As we keep going, we find that we reach that cliff without noticing. We are doing what naturally unfolds, and suddenly here is the task that we had dreaded. Now that it is here, there is no question that we will be able to keep going. What appeared to be difficult is now just what is needed to be done. The willingness we need arises. We do our best with as much tenderness as possible. The direct experience is just one more step along the way. It was not a cliff after all.
Beautifully said. And it's time for another break. Is there anything that you would like to add about that chapter before we move into the break?
No, apparently not.
Okay. All right. Well, we are speaking with William and Nancy Martin. They are the authors of The Caregivers, Tao Te Ching, Compassionate Caring for Your Loved Ones and Yourself. And so we'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in a moment.
The AMS Speakeasy provides information, peer counseling, and crisis support to the UBC community. Speakeasy volunteers are carefully chosen and trained to assist students in dealing with a wide range of issues, including relationship breakups, substance abuse, sexuality, and exam stress. To access our service for information or counseling, drop in to visit our desk on the north side of the sub-concourse. All drop-ins and call-ins are strictly confidential. We also have an online email referral service. If we can't help you, we can refer you to someone who can.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
UBC AMS Mini School seeks to provide students and the community an opportunity to learn outside the classroom. Our courses are taught by professional instructors and delivered at the best rates around, starting at $45.
Check this out!
We provide a diverse array of courses including, but not limited to, pole dancing, photography, guitar, swing dancing, wine tasting, and much, much more. Courses begin in October, February, and May, and typically run for 4 to 6 weeks. Check out www.ams.bc.ca/minischool for registration information.
Turn up loud! Turn up!
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM. In Vancouver, and if you're just tuning in, I want to let you know that coming up soon, sometime in the near future, this show is going to move to another day and time, most likely 2 p.m. on Thursday afternoons. So I will tell you the date when I'm switching over. It'll probably be sometime pretty soon, but I've got to figure it out with the program coordinator, and I will let you know as soon as I know. So today we're speaking with William and Nancy Martin, authors of The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching, Compassionate Caring for Your Loved Ones and Yourself. Welcome back to the show, Bill and Nancy.
Thank you.
And so we're talking about, Bill, you had mentioned how some parents or some people and loved ones will have good days and bad days while they're in transition or while they're needing this care. And I'm curious, I have a question about my own situation. My mother passed a number of years ago and she was in the hospital. I wasn't able to care for her and we had a tense relationship. We weren't really that close. I had grown up in foster care and she had been mentally ill. So there were a lot of reasons why I wasn't super actively involved. But I did go to visit her and the last time that I went to visit her and she was awake, I walked in the door and she glared at me and I could visibly tell she was furious. I don't know if this was her schizophrenia because I imagine she probably wasn't on her meds in hospital. But when the nurse walked in, she lit up and she smiled and she reached out to grab the nurse's arm. And I have to say, I didn't visit her until she was ready to pass. After that, I was so deeply wounded by that. And I don't really know what was going on for her. But what would you say for people who have now their loved one has passed? And maybe none of us are ever going to do everything right. That's what this is all about. So how do you come to terms with the regrets or the disappointments involved with that?
The thing that's most helpful for me is the realization that the other person is always and ever capable of their experience. They get to do this any way they choose they get to handle the circumstances of their life from whatever is going on inside of them, and all of it is okay. If they're hanging on to angers and regrets when they die, that's in one sense sad, but that's also okay. In the sense of the Tao, everything will be okay. Everything is arising and falling within the confines of a mysterious, absolutely non-understandable, yet somehow compassionate universe. They don't have to do it right. We don't have to do it right. It's our conditioned mind that tells us that their death is supposed to be like this, and the good death is where everybody reconciles and tells wonderful stories and listens to beautiful music, and that's not necessarily true. And it's just our conditioned mind that will nag at us and say, you know, you really should have. Well, if you had, well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's an invitation to us to just, again, return to the present moment. We're here. This is what's happening now. What happened then is fine. It was all of us doing the best we knew how to do at the time. Your mother needed you not to be there. Perhaps you needed not to be there. Who knows?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and just for yourself to just go ahead and have occasions when you go for a walk and you talk to her about the way you wish it could have been or how you would have liked to have been able to support her or whatever that is, just so that in some way you feel like you've communicated that. Because in doing that, what you do is you recognize that at the depth of your heart, there is this desire that to reach out and to have been part of that with her that she just wasn't available to receive. So it's nothing wrong about her, but it's also nothing wrong about you, that things just unfolded in the way that they needed to for everyone involved.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much. And so we have just a couple minutes left in the show. I'm going to play a song before we end. So I'm wondering, is there anything that we haven't covered that you feel is really important?
Well, if people want to connect more with the book and the work we do, the website is caregiversdao.com, and they can get in touch with us through that website.
Beautiful. And the book is coming out this month, right? Has it come out yet?
In Canada, I don't believe it's in the bookstores quite yet. It any day now. It's available on Amazon in the United States, but it's probably, the last I heard, it's probably just due to come out.
And the other thing is that we'd invite people to just take 10 minutes with it and enjoy it and see who else might benefit from it. It's the kind of little book that somebody who's providing care, whether a professional or providing care for a loved one, could just set it next to the tea kettle or the coffee pot, and while the water is heating, just read for a couple of minutes and find refreshment and encouragement in it. So it's a lovely little book just to have close at hand.
Beautifully said. So again, the name of the book is The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching, and Tao is spelled T-A-O, and the website is Caregiver's Tao, caregiverstao.com. And so thank you so much, William and Nancy Martin, for being on the show today. It's been such a pleasure, and I know that many, many people are going to benefit from the simple wisdom of this book.
Thank you. It was our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So again, that was William and Nancy Martin, authors of The Caregiver's Tao Te Ching, Compassionate Caring for Yourself, for Loved Ones and Yourself. And this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back again next week. And remember that the show will be changing times sometime very soon. I'll be moving to Thursdays at 2 p.m. So I hope that you'll be able to follow me to the new time. And if not, you can always catch podcasts of the show at citr.ca or on my personal website, spiritualshow.com. So I'm going to close the show with a song by Deanna Knight. We haven't heard from her in a while. She's a local Vancouver musician, and this is her song, Wounded Wing, here on CITR. Have a great weekend.
Say, patiently waits, listening. Wounded man, he takes what he can and hopes it will end his suffering.
shore to shore. Great love is spreading. The more I believe, the stronger the feeling. Bridging the souls of this earthly mending. I am flesh.
I'm